board on closed item sessions. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes regarding each item on the closed session agenda. The 3 minute time limit may not be transferred to other speakers. The 3 minute time limit for each speaker may be extended by the president of the board or the presiding member of the board of commissioners. So do we have anyone here from the public who wishes to speak on matters on the closed session agenda?
Rich Tobin, it says Kathy, that's the account.
Well, we'll take your word for it.
Okay.
So Adam's gonna handle the public comment at this point, but is that the only member of the public we have wishing to speak? Look, that's all I see. Is that correct, Adam?
Give me a second. Yeah, that's correct. That's all I see too.
Okay then, go ahead, Rich.
Okay, FOD will participate in tonight's closed session. Undoubtedly, FOD has secretly participated in other closed sessions. Why the secrecy? Why did you reveal this just before the final vote? Are you afraid of public input? Is it because the agreement to transfer property only anticipates FOD will hold it for approximately 3 to 5 years before going to a federal or state agency? There is no time limit. Is it because it is only anticipated a federal or state agency would ultimately own and manage your property? The legal requirement is to find an appropriate long-term conservation land manager. A nonprofit qualifies. Is it because a natural resource agency and state coastal conservancy's grant agreements expired in 2019? Is it because your office did not have a copy of the wildlife conservation grant agreement? I asked for all of those three yesterday and I got two of them. All three of those agreements have terms and conditions that apply to the purchase. Is it because FOD only intends to conduct nature walks through the properties? FOD has full power and authority to, will have full power and authority to conduct its business as now conducted and to own its assets and could apply for CDPs immediately after receiving title to the property. Is it because the executive director of the State Coastal Conservancy can designate a nonprofit, i.e. FOD, to accept the right title and interest to the property after they gain? The Harbor District could transfer this property to BLM or another public agency without cost. Why the secrecy? Because the vote to approve the grant to this project is one of the consent items on the Wildlife Conservation Board's August 26th agenda, consent agenda. Because you thought it could quietly be approved, you could quietly approve the purchase, and FOD would ultimately obtain the permanent ownership of the property. If it is your desire that the property goes only to a public agency, say so in contract language. If FOD is not to perform any restoration activity while holding title to the property, put it in the contract. If there is no limit to how long FOD can hold the property, put it in the contract. A vote to approve this project proves me right. Tabling it for further review would be the right thing to do. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much for your comments. If there are no other members of the public, I do also have to state that I will be recusing myself from item C on the closed session. And so with that, we're gonna move into closed session. We will open back up into open session at 6 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have fun back there.
And then there's 30 people in the waiting room.
Oh boy.
I can let them in. I think, Stephen, what I'm tempted to do for public comment is just let people comment. I'll write down who's commenting, go to the next one, just work through it. And then, you know, go keep people to 3 minutes. And then when we get to what seems like the last person, just ask, is there anyone left? I think it's going to be easier to do that than to try to make a list in advance and go through it, you know? That sound okay?
That's probably going to be the scenario on the dog park. because there's probably going to be a lot of people want to chime in. So that's good process.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how, see how it goes, because you might have people trying to talk once, and maybe you can just like run down the list that you see of participants.
Yeah, that might be right.
Right, however it seems to work, I'll leave it in your capable hands.
Okay. Pretty good idea. Yeah, I might try that. Okay. I'm going to let him in, okay? You ready?
Sounds good.
Here it goes.
Open the door. And then Adam, it might make sense to mute everybody, and then the commissioners can unmute themselves.
Yeah, good on. Good idea. I'll try.
So I joined without audio, but I went because I thought I could without video. But I thought
but you have audio because we hear you talking.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
No, sound only is fine.
Everyone has been six hours of Zoom meetings today, like I have.
Okay, thank you everyone for joining. We've got a lot of people, so I appreciate everyone's patience. Bear with us as we work through this. I'm right now going to mute everybody except for the commissioners and district staff so we can do some formalities and things like that. And then as we move on to public comment, I'll provide some direction about how we're going to try to move that through smoothly. But everyone's going to be muted again, except for commissioners and district staff. So I'm muting all. Okay, I muted everyone. Anyone has the ability to unmute themselves. So commissioners and district staff, please unmute yourself as appropriate. Everyone else, please stay muted until otherwise directed.
Thank you. And I'm happy to see so many people virtually here at this meeting. It's nice to see public interest in what we do. So I am calling to order the special session of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. The time is 6:08. And we are going to move first into public comment, but I believe first we should have a report out of closed session. Is that correct?
Roll call, brother.
Oh yeah, roll call is there as well too. Thank you, Patrick. So can we start with the roll call, Larry?
Commissioner Doss.
Here.
Commissioner Marks.
Here.
Commissioner Dale.
Here.
Commissioner Higgins.
Present.
And President Coleman.
Present, thank you. And now may we have a report out of closed session?
Yeah, no reportable action tonight.
All right, thank you. And so now we're gonna move into public comment. This portion of the agenda allows the public to speak to the board on various issues not itemized on this agenda. Pursuant to the Brown Act, the board may not take action on any item that does not appear on the agenda. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes regarding each item on the agenda at that time when the agenda item comes up. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes during the public comment portion of the agenda. Regarding items of special interest to the public not appearing on the agenda that are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Board of Commissioners. And so are there any members of the public here who wish to speak on items that are not on the agenda tonight? I'll give a moment for people, if anybody wants to unmute yourself and speak.
Can they unmute or are they mass muted?
I think they are able to unmute themselves, but we ask if you're not speaking to stay muted to help keep background noise down. So I'm not seeing anybody wishing to speak in public comment on items not on the agenda. So we will move on to business. First item is A, Consider adopting resolution 2020-10, accepting grant funding, resolution of deed acceptance, resolution authorizing the transfer of property to Friends of the Dunes and other required actions associated with the acquisition, assessor's parcel numbers. Do I need to read these all? I guess it. 401-011-001, 401-011-010, 401-011-012, 401-011-018, 401-011-020, 401-011-023, 401-021-011, 401-021-018, 401-021-027, 401-011-028, 401-021-029, and 401-031-045 on the Samoa Peninsula, Humboldt County, California, commonly referred to as the Dog Ranch. We have a report on this.
I would like to offer a motion in support of this, if I can get a second at this point.
Stephen, I would second that, but I didn't catch all of that. Could you repeat that for me?
Sure. Should I read them backwards for you?
He went into binary computer code, 101010.
This, now my yes. Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second, and we have a presentation, and we also have guest speakers on this, I believe. So go ahead, Larry, with the presentation.
Okay, so in one way, shape, or form, basically, this property's been in and out of trying to get acquired by public agencies, since the mid 2000s. Basically, looking back in the records for the Harbor District, three executive directors were looking and had direction from different boards for the acquisition of this property. And so this kind of slide together by Van Hatten from California Fish and Wildlife. And so I wanted to give just kind of an overview of the property and kind of what we were looking at here. And so this acquisition is 357 acres, funding from the Wildlife Conservation Board, the Environmental Enhancement Mitigation Program, and the State Coastal Conservancy. You know, there's rare plants and sensitive natural areas that as people that go out there will find, you know, there's lots of pristine land that's out here, and it's fairly unique. When we look at this, there's 12 parcels, about 81 acres of wetlands, 9 acres of, kind of shrub land, 56 acres of forested lands, and then 16 acres of kind of mudflats and really tide lands that are in the bay that are under the Harbor District's primary jurisdiction. 16 acres that are in the Harbor District's primary jurisdiction, areas that are below the mean high watermark. When you look at this property, these are the parcels that we're looking to acquire here. All those ones that Stephen listed off, these are the parcels that we're acquiring, literally from Humboldt Bay to the shores to the Pacific Ocean. And these parcels, these three parcels, are literally in the water. And then there's a variety of shoreline properties of why the Harbor District has a direct connection to each one of these properties. When you look at the overall lands that are in public ownership, basically, from the Mad River all the way to the North Jetty, there is a lot of property, and it's behind my screen, I think, but it's like 1,500 acres approximately. And so some of the acquisition priorities are natural resource conservation, restoration opportunities, nature and outdoor recreation activities. We always like to say that we are the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. Conservation is a main component of what we do in Humboldt Bay, and that we'd like to do more of in the future. And so recreation and conservation programs are part of the mission of the Harbor District. Again, I'm just going to quick go through a couple of slides just so people get a feel for what the property looks like and why this property is so unique when you look at the coastal dune environment. I'm just going to stay quiet for a second and just going to scroll through a couple of the vegetation types and other things. And so this property is truly a unique property and will fill a hole between some of the areas that are already protected in and around Humboldt Bay. I really want to take this time to thank the property owners, Security National. They've been great to work with. They really have done everything that we've asked them in this property and in this acquisition process. Really kind of been meeting with them, cooperating, doing their best to kind of keep the homeless encampments, cleaning trash up, all of these kinds of things in order so that when the property is only transferred over, it's in as good a shape as we can hope that it would be. I also want to thank the Coastal Conservancy and the other agencies because, you know, this has been a long process and we've been working with them for a long time. And there's been a lot of hiccups in the road. There's no two ways about it. And there's still other hiccups might occur in the future. But they've been sticking with us and the property owner in this transaction. Also, Friends of the Dunes. I can't say enough about them stepping up to the plate and being willing to take over because the Harbor District formally said to the resource agencies that we were not going to be able to take over the property. And so Friends of the Dunes stepped up and took it and was willing to take over this property. And so from my perspective, my recommendation to the board is that they adopt resolution 2020-10, accepting the grant funds from the Wildlife Conservation Board. Resolution 2021, essentially allowing an amendment to the purchase and sale agreement, which we may not need to do, which would basically, the property owner was willing to hold back 5% of the purchase price until they could get reimbursed after the close of escrow. Again, most property owners would not be willing to do this, and that's what that resolution 2020-11 does. It basically, the property owner saying they would agree to withhold approximately $35,000 of the purchase price until approximately 60 days after the close of escrow. And then resolution 2020-12 authorizes a transfer agreement to transfer real property upon sale to the Friends of the Dunes. And so immediately in escrow, the Harbor District would own the property for literally just simultaneously in escrow, and then we would immediately transfer that property over to the Friends of the Dunes. As part of that transfer, a couple of things that are happening. All of the grant funding agencies, the Coastal Conservancy, Wildlife Conservation Board, and Environmental Enhancement and Mitigation Program, they have restrictions that are placed on the property, and all the restrictions that are associated with those funding agencies gets automatically transferred over as part of this transaction. There are restrictions that the agencies put on that the Friends of the Dunes will not be able to transfer the property to any other entity unless they receive the approval from the other funding agencies. And so, what we're looking to do tonight is basically authorize me to execute the documents which would facilitate the ultimate sale from Security National to the Harbor District, and then immediately in escrow, then we would transfer all the requirements associated with the funding agency over to the Friends of the Dunes, and then they would be the fee title holder of this property. Just like the Harbor District, when we went to the funding agencies, we said that we were only going to be a short-term owner of the property until the Coastal Conservancies and other agencies could work together to find a permanent steward that would take over the long-term and permanent ownership of this very critical and important piece of property. And so the Harbor District wasn't able to find a permanent holder. And again, thank the Friends of the Dunes for stepping up and would be willing to hold the property during that short-term transition period until a permanent lander can hold title to that. And so what I'd like to do is to turn this over to the Friends of the Dunes, some opening remarks, and then over to Security National representatives to see if they had some opening remarks. And then again, I'm hoping that Michael Bowen, Coastal Conservancy, is on the line and that he would be able to say a couple things from the funding perspective. And then if the board will to either ask them questions directly or open it up to public comment. And then at the very end, again, I would ask that the board provide, you know, Friends of this the opportunity to give any final comments prior to closing the public comments. And so that's my recommendation. And so if I could turn this over to Mike Cipra from the Friends of the Dunes.
Thank you, Larry. Can folks hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I wanted to, first of all, my name's Mike Cipra. I'm the executive director of Friends of the Dunes. And on behalf of Friends of the Dunes, I wanted to thank the Humboldt Bay Harbor District for your leadership in bringing this conservation project, which is a really important one, to this the advanced stage. I also want to acknowledge and thank the State of California's Coastal Conservancy for their leadership on this, and locally the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. We've all been involved in this much longer than Friends of the Dunes. And I wanted to honor your leadership and say thank you. I also want to thank the landowner, Security National. They've been great to work with, really open in sharing information, great in terms of good faith negotiation. All of their staff have been fantastic to work with. And I think that demonstrates that folks who maybe in the past have had different interests can work together, reasonable people can work together and find common interests and work towards conservation. I think that's a really inspiring piece of this story. Also want to thank the funders, the Wildlife Conservation Board and State Coastal Conservancy and the California Natural Resources Agency for recognizing that this is a historic conservation investment. It's a really important one. I'd like to make a little bit of space now to acknowledge that this land is ancestral Wiat land. And that's a really critical piece of this. Friends of the Dunes has reached out to the Wiat to gain their ideas and input about this property and its long-term management. And invited the Wiat to be cooperative managers for the time that we have land tenure. And the Wiat have been, I don't want to speak for them, but they have been in the conversations we've had supportive of this property going into conservation ownership. Friends of the Dunes has come to this project, at least this time around, relatively recently. And our perception was in conversations with Larry and others is that this conservation project, this historic acquisition was in danger of falling apart, that it might not have happened. So that's really what's sort of provoked Friends of the Dunes to step forward and say, this is something that's too important for our community and for the land to let fall through the cracks. And so that's really the impetus for us in becoming the interim landowner. And we do not see ourselves as the permanent landowner. We see Friends of the Dunes really clearly sees ourselves as the steward, the temporary steward, until we can work with our partners to find the long-term appropriate long-term landowner. So that's how we got here. And I wanted to share kind of where we are in terms of looking at managing this property. Friends of the Dunes appreciates our partnerships with the Humboldt Bay Harbor District, the Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, Humboldt County, the State Coastal Conservancy, and the Weehaw Tribe, and other conservation organizations. And we're in the process of developing a multi-party memorandum of understanding for the cooperative management of this Samoa Dunes and Wetlands conservation property. All of us in this partnership are committed to protecting the beauty and the diversity of this remarkable land. During the time that Friends of the Dunes is the interim landowner, we will not be doing restoration. We do not see ourselves as the long-term landowner of this property, and we do not plan to seek a coastal development permit for it. That would be necessary to designate trails or establish formal parking areas or conduct restoration. And we're cooperating with state, federal, county, and tribal partners to determine what ownership or management is in the best long-term interest of the land and the community. And I want to end with, you know, I want to stress community, because it takes a lot of folks, a whole community, to steward a property like this. And we're really open to partnerships and to volunteer stewards. And I think they're going to play a big role in helping us manage this property for the community while we seek the long-term landowner. And so with that, I'd like to see if any commissioners have specific questions for me.
Thank you. I wonder, should we listen, hear from all the speakers first and then ask any questions afterwards?
I think that's a good idea, Stephen.
Thank you, Patrick. So thank you, Mike. I appreciate your heartfelt words. And who was next going to speak, Larry?
Pretty national. I think Tim Callison from Security National.
Yes, this is Tim Callison from Security National. Security National is very excited to see the transfer of this property go over to the Harbor District and obviously to the Friends of the Dunes. after spending some time with getting to know what we call the two Mikes, we are very confident that it is going to be in good hands. We have done tours. We've basically given them our maintenance plan, if you would, or our monitoring plan. We have also left open, you know, anytime that they need help, Kenny and I are more than willing to come help. We've also committed to future fundraising events for the Friends of the Dunes with this, just to make sure that the project does go forward and that, you know, they're secure with what they have. You know, as far as the property, it's a gorgeous piece of property. We're excited that other people will be able to see it and enjoy it at some future time. And I just think it's going to be a great thing for the community. And I think that's about it for Security National right now.
Great. Thank you, Tim. And thank you for all your hard work on making this project happen.
Thank you. There's very many. The list is long of people to thank that have put a lot of time and effort into getting this project as far as it is. And, you know, they all know who they are, and they should give themselves, you know, a little pat on the back for their hard work. It's definitely been a huge team endeavor, if you would.
So I don't know if Michael Bowen from the Coastal Conservancy is on.
I am, Larry. Can you hear me?
Well, thank you.
Super. Thanks so much. Chairman, commissioners, thank you. This is a great honor, even though this is the third mic, by the way. I'm Michael Bowen with the Coastal Conservancy and project manager in the North Coast. You know, one of the great things about working in Humboldt County, as I've been fortunate enough to do for many years now, is working in Humboldt County. And seeing the way that a relatively low populated community comes together to achieve great things. And it just happens time and time again. And I think this is one of those moments. Of course, the Coastal Conservancy is very grateful to the Harbor District for the patience and work that it's put into this. Larry, you're one of the best administrators I've had the pleasure to work with. I appreciate your efforts on this project. Security National has been just a tremendous, tremendous partner with a great dedication to the community good, and that has been a real pleasure to work with. And I could go on and on, but I'm going to spare you all. I think, Larry, what you wanted me to speak to perhaps was the matter of deed restrictions and how the funders, the three funders who are contributing to the acquisition, perceive the transaction and future management of the property and eventual transfer. And so essentially, when public funds are invested in the acquisition of private property like this, they're typically done with some instrument that is intended to protect and preserve the purpose for which the property is being acquired. Now, in this particular case, of course, we've heard a lot about conservation and the great values that this property affords. But there's another one, too, that's very important, and that's public access and recreation and enjoyment, which, of course, is a big part of the Harbor District's wheelhouse. And the Coastal Conservancy has spent the last, years, but in my case, months, trying to harmonize how the various funders would sort of express their requirements and restrictions on the property. And the way we have arrived at is this, that the Coastal Conservancy will craft an offer to dedicate that will be essentially accompany the deed, but it's not language that's written into the deed itself. And this will characterize the purposes of the acquisition and will go along with the property, if you will. Now, it tends to be fairly general in its description of the benefits and purposes of the property. So in this case, you know, natural resource protection, public access and enjoyment, coastal trail, etc. But it has a very strong reversionary clause, which essentially allows us as a funder to take back the property should we ever deem that the purposes of the acquisition are not being met. Now, initially, the Natural Resources Agency was going to sort of go a different path and place actual deed restrictions on, recorded deed restrictions. They are now folding their priorities into our offer to dedicate. And similarly, the Wildlife Conservation Board will issue a notice of unrecorded grant agreement that will also accompany the deed and the title. So I don't know if that, Larry, fully answers the questions or speaks to what you were trying to express to the board, but I guess in a nutshell, from our vantage point, the public investment and the goals and objectives of the acquisition are protected through these instruments that will run along with the property.
Michael, if I could just ask you, can the Friends of the Dunes, will they be able to just sell the property and make a profit?
Absolutely not. So any change in ownership would require the approval of the funders. And that wouldn't just be us. For example, it would also include the Secretary of Natural Resources as the offer to dedicate is currently written. Now, clearly, if Friends of the Dunes, for example, identifies a more suitable entity to hold title, the federal estate, for instance, then they would come to us and seek our permission, and we would most likely grant it, provided the recipient entity could guarantee that they would continue to meet the purposes, conservation and public access, of the acquisition. So this is something that happens very often. It's something we do all the time. It's a well-traveled path. It can take time. And I think that is probably some of the background noise that everybody has heard associated with this transaction. But we're very confident that the property will be in good hands and will fairly efficiently and expeditiously transfer to a suitable entity, and we will be prepared to prove that.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to ask my fellow commissioners if they have any comments or questions.
Stephen, this is Pat, and if I could cross back with Michael just on a particular. Michael, good evening.
You'll have to identify which Michael, it sounds like.
Michael Bowen, who just addressed us. With great respect, Michael. Members of the community have spoken of the appearance of the Harbor District gifting the Friends of the Dunes through this transaction. And in our previous conversation, you assured me that this ultimately will end up with likely BLM. But the community would like assurances, well, some members would like assurances that that we are not, in fact, gifting this, and that there are restrictions in the documents that assure that it will ultimately be vested in another agency and not just retained by Friends of the Dunes. And I trust Michael from Friends of the Dunes and his pronouncements, but there is legal issues and public perception. So thank you for letting me ask that question.
Sure. Absolutely. So, and thank you. Thank you, Pat, for that. Good question. There's a few issues I think swirling around here. Now, if anyone thinks this is a gift, they should probably take one of the patrols that my good friend Tim Callison at Security National has to orchestrate every couple of weeks to maintain the property. But that aside, I think there are sort of three concerns here. So, there has been an assertion that Friends of the Dunes is unqualified as a recipient. That is simply not our experience at the Coastal Conservancy. I can't speak for anyone else, but we found them to be a qualified grantee that meets all the many, many requirements that the state is capable of imposing on prospective grantees or property managers. The second concern that has arisen is that the intention of the transfer was supposed to be to a public entity, not a private entity. And of course, Friends of the Dunes is a private nonprofit, a 501c3. In our view, the most important thing is not whether it's public or private, it's whether they're meeting the purposes of the acquisition, in this case, public access, recreation, and conservation protection. And our instruments that I alluded to and described earlier will make very sure that whoever is managing this property will be meeting those standards. Now, then there's sort of is this a gift of public funds, which I think is what you're suggesting, Pat. And, the simple answer is no. If the Harbor District opts to transfer the property to a private nonprofit that is so designated under the IRS tax code, and that private nonprofit agrees to adhere to and uphold all of the values and many obligations that the funders have placed on it, then the public's benefit is being achieved, in our view. Now, I think sprinkled over all of this, and perhaps this is the elephant in the room, is a legitimate fear that, well, I would say a fear of the unknown primarily, but a fear that public access will simply be forbidden. And I don't know what to say except that that is so unlikely and so inconsistent with the current language and what will be the final language of our instruments, that it's just not a realistic concern. Now, I don't mean to diminish it, and you know, it's certainly perfectly okay to be anxious.
Michael, actually, I'm satisfied with your pronouncements, and I appreciate your clarifications.
Thank you very much.
And Stephen, if I might continue.
Go ahead, Patrick.
BLM is restoration and recreation. I would like to see the rest of the districts in the nation modeled after Arcata. It is a powerhouse in terms of like the Headwaters and the Spit. And now this is logical for their acquisition. I see their ascension in the changing political climates where federal agencies that manage public trust are not starved. I don't think that's a chimera. I think that's coming. I think BLM will have a better budget. We are the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District, and this is a big step, and it doesn't cost us much to be an intermediary. I am a conservationist and a biologist, and I love Michael Van Hatten's maps, and I wish we would have seen all the photos. It's kind of frustrating in Zoom where you can't click the PowerPoint forward, but this is important. This is very important habitat in the dune ecosystem, and our community needs recreation. The Malheur Dunes are now highly utilized, and this will be increasingly central to ecotourism and economic development and diversification. And so I strongly favor this. I'm glad we're able to be a vehicle. It is kind of unfortunate that we have lacked the capacity to be the intermediary, but that's just kind of the circumstances of the time and the demands on the district. So I'm happy to support this and hope that my fellow commissioners are equally excited about the prospect. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Patrick. Do any other commissioners have any comments or questions at this time?
I have a quick question on the Michael Bowen, please. You referred to, and you kind of answered a question that's been bugging me, is a document, an offer to dedicate, which is going to protect the use of the land in perpetuity. And that document is, if I understood right, you're not going to record that document?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. It is recorded, but it's recorded as a separate document.
And it's recorded against all of those parcels though, right?
Correct.
I hope. Okay. Okay, so I did some checking and just recently, and according to California Government Code 7050, that is a common document to record for this purpose of parks. And that was one of my biggest questions coming into tonight's meeting. So thanks for explaining that. That helped me find the pieces in part of this. So appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. Anything else from my fellow commissioners?
Excuse me for butting in, but I see that Commissioner Marks is asking a question.
Thank you. So just so you know, with so many people here, I cannot see everybody. So you'll either
have that's why I sent you a private text. If you take a look, I sent a private and I also was using the reaction hand.
Thank you for pointing that out. The reaction hand I didn't see, but I see that there is a chat there.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to thank Michael Cohen for the clarifications on the chain of events on this happening and making sure that what was spoken to earlier was in order. I just wanted to thank Mike Cohen there.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Marks. Was that it?
Yeah, because Pat took everything else.
Yes. And Commissioner Dale, did you want to add anything? I think you're the only one who hasn't spoken yet.
I don't have anything to say, but I do want to commend staff from all these agencies and Security National for their efforts to put this together. This is monumental. It's something that piece of property, if you haven't been out there, you should. It's an incredible piece of property that should be in public hands. And I'm very proud of the people that have all worked on this, including Michael Bowen and Larry Ocker and Mike Cipra and Tim Callison, Rob Arkley. All these guys have gone the distance to make this happen. And I want to see this happen tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Dale. And I too would like to echo my thanks and respect for everybody who's been working on this. It took, a real tricky situation. And I know that it's been discussed for many years in many different ways. And I think as Commissioner Higgins pointed out, it is unfortunate that, it was just infeasible for the Harbor District at this point to be able to hold on to and manage this piece of property. And so that there are so many people working hard together to figure out a creative solution to get this piece of property into the public trust is really commendable. So if there's nothing else from my fellow commissioners, I think it's time we're going to open it up to public comment. And I am going to let Adam Weigshall handle the public comment. Remember this, we have a lot of people here. I think a lot of people wishing to speak. So please respect the 3-minute time limit. And also please be patient as we work in this virtual Zoom environment.
Thank you, Stephen. The way I'm going to do this, I have a list of all the participants here in alphabetical order. I'm going to work down the list and ask if each individual would like to make a public comment. If you'd like to, please say yes, and then you'll have an opportunity for a 3-minute comment. If you don't want to, then say no, or if you don't reply fairly quickly, then I'll move on to the next person. After we get through the whole list, I will open it up and just make sure we didn't miss anyone. So if I say your name and you don't respond fast enough, I move on, don't worry. We'll come back to you. So I'm just going to start at the top of the list here. Alderon Laird, would you like to make a comment?
No.
Benjamin Lardier? No?
Adam, the only comment is I completely support the acquisition of this property and the transfer to the Friends of the Dunes. I think it's a tremendous opportunity for the region, and I commend you for taking this task on and for Security National in offering up the property. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderon. Benjamin Lardier, I apologize for mispronunciation.
That's okay. Yes, I also completely support this acquisition and transfer to the Friends of the Dunes.
Okay, thank you. Carla Osborne?
Yeah, I'm a longtime resident of Manila, and I definitely support this acquisition.
Okay, thank you. Carol Ralph?
Yes, I would like to thank and congratulate everyone who has worked on this, and I hope it can be carried through because I have total confidence in Friends of the Dunes for taking care of this wonderful property.
Thank you. Carol Vandermeer.
Yes, hi, thank you. I just want to say, as a board member of Friends of the Dunes, I really appreciate our board who recognize this as a really important project, and as Mike Cipra outlined earlier, that would potentially be on the verge of falling through. And we've had a long history of being interested in this project. As Mike said, we're the interim landowners and just want to see it protected for its natural resources values and for the community's enjoyment, and we'll be working and talking with different partners to try to find the best long-term owner that can protect and manage that for the community's interest in the long run. So I appreciate the support we're seeing for this transfer, and I'm confident that we can be good interim caretakers of this property until a long-term manager can be found, and really have appreciated the support of multiple agencies to help us in that interim period, because patrolling and monitoring the property is important. And as Mike said, we don't plan any major changes of use because we're not seeking a coastal development permit. So anyway, I just wanted to say that the board and staff were up for it, and look forward to assuring long-term conservation ownership.
Thank you, Carol. John St. Marie,
Yes.
Saint Marie to me.
Thank you. Yes, I want to echo our board member, our board president, Carol's words. I believe this is an excellent project that we should support him. I know there's a lot of thank yous going around, but I'm really confident that the future will thank you for making this project happen. So thank you one more time. I support this project.
Okay, thank you. Kathy Tobin.
Rich, you're muted.
Rich Tobin.
Yeah, it's Rich Tobin, and he's muted. Are you muting him, Adam, or is he muting himself?
He would have the ability to unmute himself.
Rich, F3 on your keyboard.
We can come back. We'll get an opportunity later. He may have stepped away for a second.
As soon as we hear you, Rich, you're up.
Dale Preston, did you want to make a comment?
I'd just like to support what's been said, that this is it's great to see this progress project moving ahead, and I think it will be a valuable addition to the conserved areas in this area, in this region, and also a major source of interest for many people.
Thank you. David, would you like to make a comment? No response yet, so we'll come back. Emily Sinkhorn, would you like to comment?
Sure. Hello, my name's Emily Sinkhorn, and I work with Redwood Community Action Agency, and we've been supporting a group of residents working on improving the feeling of safety on the Samoa Peninsula, the Peninsula Community Collaborative. And through that work, the PCC has found the Harbor District and Security National and Friends of the Dunes to be excellent partners in working towards that mission, as well as all the funding partners. I really want to thank to make this happen, and definitely want to voice support for support of the interim transfer of ownership to the Friends of the Dunes. And believe that with a lot of community support and the long track record that the Friends of the Dunes has as being a really collaborative community organization, that this will be a great step towards ensuring habitat preservation and public access for this really unique part of the dunes. So thank you for the time.
Thank you. Jennifer Savage, would you like to comment?
I would, thank you. Hi, Jennifer Savage, California Policy Manager for the Surfrider Foundation and 18-year Manila resident. So Surfrider Foundation is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the protection and enjoyment of the world's ocean, beaches, and waves for all people. With 20 chapters in California, including one right here in Humboldt County, we strive to ensure coastal preservation and beach access along the entirety of the state's coastline. So in short, this is an incredible opportunity. Coastal dunes are considered one of the most rare, important, and vulnerable habitats on the California coast, and defined categorically by the California Coastal Commission as environmentally sensitive due to the rarity of the physical habitat and its important ecosystem functions. Friends of the Dunes has a lengthy history of success in managing coastal dune property for appropriate public access, as well as for habitat conservation and restoration. We believe that conservation ownership and management is the most appropriate way to protect this unique land and serve North Coast communities, and that Friends of the Dunes is uniquely qualified to accept this responsibility of owning and managing this land. We also appreciate Friends of the Dunes' important acknowledgement of the Wiyot tribe as an essential stakeholder and partner, given that this property is Wiyot ancestral land. And on a personal note, you know, my kids all grew up participating in Friends of the Dunes' educational camps and workshops. And as a result, the whole family can still identify just about all the plants out there. As a longtime Manila resident, I'm just so excited and thrilled to see greater protection and appreciation of my neighborhood. And in addition, the opportunities for increased coastal education, enjoyment, and recreation are so exciting. And I look forward to the day when small group tours through this unique, awe-inspiring dune forest can be offered to the whole community. So I just want to say thanks to everyone for recognizing this important conservation investment for the people of Humboldt, and to all the entities involved in making it happen, and for the Harbor District's leadership in ensuring the protection of the Samoa dunes and wetlands. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Jesse, would you like to comment?
You might crash back to Rich Tobin.
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, Rich.
My concern is not access to the property. My concern is the wetlands, and I'm not picking on Friends of the Dunes here, but previous permits issued by the county out there do not require delineation of wetlands. By delineation, I mean those that are applied to local residents next to wetlands, those who have the wet, it should be like those who have to submit streamside management plans. The reason is when most permits have not addressed the wetlands or simply said avoid the wetlands. Without a delineation, the county who is responsible for monitoring this has no way of knowing whether the wetlands have been avoided or even know where they are. I think the wetlands deserve the same protection and need to be delineated, and that should be made part of the conditions that are attached to the deed. That goes for plants too, rare plants. You can't work out there if they're not delineated and marked, even with a GPS. Thank you.
Thank you. Coming back to my list here, Jesse, would you like to comment? Not hearing a response yet. Again, we will give people an opportunity again later. Kathy Kelly, would you like to comment?
Yes, thank you. I enthusiastically support this project to transfer the properties to Friends of the Dunes for interim ownership and management. I've been a big supporter of Friends of the Dunes and volunteer for many years. And I feel Friends of the Dunes is extremely qualified to be the interim owner and manager, and will find the appropriate, with working with partners, find the appropriate long-term owner and manager of the property. It's an amazing property. I've spent some time out there. I've done trash cleanup through with Friends of the Dunes. And yeah, it's very, very special. And the right manager and owner is extremely important. Thank you so much, everyone, for all the people that have worked on this project and making the important and appropriate choices to protect the property long-term. Thank you.
Thank you. Kenny Carswell, would you like to comment?
I'm with Security National. I just want to thank everyone for their hard work in this acquisition. It's been a pleasure dealing with everyone. I just want to mirror Tim Callison's sentiments from earlier about the project. I think this is a great thing for our community, and that's about it.
Okay, thank you. Kristen Orth, would you like to comment?
Hi, I'm a local resident, a nature enthusiast, and think this is a great project. It's really heartening to see all these local organizations working together for some really common community benefit, and I also enthusiastically support this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda Alm, would you like to comment?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, thank you so much. I'm going to read my statement because it's kind of wordy, and you just stop me if it goes on too long. My name is Linda Letton Alm. I'm very pleased to speak in support of this important acquisition and management by the Friends of the Dunes of this coastal property. I became involved early on as a Friend of the Dunes and spent many interesting days as a docent leading groups of community members out at Lanphier Christensen Dunes in the 80s. It's a critical habitat, and I learned this from many people I work side by side with doing botanical and biological research projects out there over the years. I got to spend 6 weeks caretaking the property for Sue Van Hook and George Sue Sweet and George Van Hook in 1984, which is when I became even more intrigued with the unique setting of forest and dune interface. My only job was to patrol the perimeter of the preserve twice a day, observing for trespassers. It was very peaceful then. There were no problems, as I recall. And rancher Chris Christensen was a staunch supporter of our efforts, always seemed agreeable to the Saturday passersby who came over the bridge by his property to start the hikes. I lived my whole life within the reach of a coastline, early as a child in Florida and later on here in California. There's very little coastline protected in Florida anymore. California residents may not realize what a treasure undisturbed dune forests and mat communities of rare and endangered plants we have here. This contiguous piece of property will be a precious and valuable statement to the rest of the country as to why it matters to keep this coastal land protected and accessible. I can't wait until it's safe enough to gather a group for a hike out to the new property. Thank you for listening and giving the public an opportunity to tell their stories and express their support. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your comment.
You bet.
L'Oreal Caverly, would you like to comment?
Yeah, hi, thank you. My name is L'Oreal Caverly, and I am a revegetation specialist and a botanist with Caltrans, but I'm making these comments as a private citizen. I would love to encourage the commission to adopt the resolution 2020-12 to transfer the property to Friends of the Dunes. I have known and been involved with Friends of the Dunes for about 8 years now, as long as I've lived in Humboldt County. And I have just found that they are one of the best local nonprofits in terms of service and value provided to our human and natural communities. I have participated in their UC Extension Certified Naturalist training and other education and conservation outreach events. And I have found that the members of their board and staff all have always shown very high levels of integrity and kindness. And so I'm so grateful that they've stepped forward to be the interim stewards of this very special and rare habitat. And I encourage the commission to adopt the resolution to transfer the land to Friends of the Dunes. I do want to say this dune forest and wetland habitat, as everyone is in agreement, is one of the most rare and special habitats in our state. And protecting it is crucial to the long-term health and safety of the Humboldt Bay, from mitigating the effects of climate change to protecting special plant, animal, and lichen species, and to provide for increased mental and physical health benefits for all who recreate in that special space. And with all the challenges we're currently facing, it's a bright light in dark times to have conservation decisions like this happen. So thank you all for listening to my comments, and I hope the commission will adopt the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Marge Fay, would you like to comment? Apologize for the mispronunciation. Okay. Michael Van Haddam, would you like to comment?
So
Sure. This is Mike Van Hattem, Senior Environmental Scientist with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. I'm a huge supporter of this project. I love the collaborative nature of it. I'm very thankful for the Harbor District stepping up during this period. I'm very happy that Friends of the Dunes has saved us. And I'm excited about the future. This is an incredible place. And it needs to be conserved. It needs to be used appropriately. And I hope you all will support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Nancy Ihara, would you like to comment?
Yes. So I've lived in Manila for 50 years. And so have been on a piece of property. It is amazing. It's an amazingly, but forested dunes are always pretty incredible. I know Manila Service District also has forested dunes, and they just, they're beautiful. And I, of course, I think I've been a member of Friends of the Dunes for many, many years, and think that they will be amazing interim managers. I am just so eager when it is appropriate to share this with other people in Humboldt County who don't necessarily know about it, or you know, you just kind of drive on 255 and you just don't even know what's over there. And so I think it's very exciting, and thanks for to everybody for making this happen. And hope, of course, I hope that the commission will support the resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the list, the way it's spelled is R. Grosveld.
Hi, yeah, I'm Ray. Our family has a property adjacent to this land, and I just wanted to say thank you to all the players involved. We truly feel blessed to be next to such an incredible piece of property. I look forward to the community being able to enjoy it and see what's actually out there. Like Nancy said, you can't really see it from the highway, so I think we'll all truly realize this wonderful adventure once we all finalize it. But once again, we do look forward to having safe passage out there, and thank you so much for all the help everyone has put into this. We fully support it.
Thank you. Susan Penn, would you like to comment?
Yes, I just want to basically back up what everybody else has said. It's an incredible piece of property out there. It's been many years since I was out there, since I felt safe out there. So having somebody manage it for a while, and especially hearing that there will be, you know, requirements and stipulations going along with it, I think it's great. So thank you all.
Thank you. Susie Fortner, you'd like to comment?
Yes, hi, I'm the Programs and Operations Director with Friends of the Dunes. I just want to say thank you to everybody who has put so much effort into this project. It's been a long time coming, and thank you to all of our community supporters. I'm really excited to see this land be conserved, and it feels like an honor to be a part of that. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Trevor Estlow, would you like to comment?
Hi, this is Emily Walter, and I just want to say I'm very familiar with the properties, and I know how unique and rare and wonderful they are, so I'm really excited for them to be conserved, and I trust that Friends of the Dunes will do a great job as the temporary owners, and I'm fully supportive of this project, and I just really want to thank everyone that put this project together and made it happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Would the person calling from the number 530-925-1829 like to comment? Okay, would Christopher Watt like to comment? And would Uri Driscoll like to comment?
Yes. Hi. Can everyone hear me there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes, you're clear.
Okay, thanks. Well, I obviously am very fond of this property too. I kind of adopted it over the years. I hike and ride my horse through there. We help maintain the trails, pick up trash. Very, very fond of this property. It's extremely spectacular. And I would love to see it in public hands, even though I've been very happy with the way it's been at the moment. I'm a big fan of process too, and I'm a bit concerned about the process that this has gone through. It's only been in closed session. Actually, even tonight there was no report out of closed session about the negotiations that have been going on. And the resolutions that you're have set up here, the 2020-12 particularly. And well, pretty much all of these documents that I've gotten a hold of related to this are all about transferring this property to public hands. And this, especially the 2020-12, if it were to be signed as is, indicates it is to go to public management. Well, that's actually not going to happen if it ends up in Friends of the Dunes, which is obviously, as everyone knows, is a private entity. So there's a legal problem there that I've yet to really hear addressed. I've brought it up several times, but I'd also like to just kind of go back to, you know, why the Harbor District isn't interested in this. Originally, I know there wasn't funding available, but to help with it, but now we know that funding, the $115,000 that would be earmarked to Friends of the Dunes, could be used by the Harbor District for help with that. And that being a public agency, the maintaining it until another public agency was able to take it over, say BLM or whoever, then this whole thing is a lot cleaner and not with the legal complications that you're creating by sending this to a private entity. So if somehow that legal tangle can get undone, I think we really need to understand what the requirements are. There's been some history with Friends of the Dunes harassing individuals on some of their land that was bought by public money. I know some of them, many of them personally, and they have testified at public hearings about that harassment. So I'm a little bit concerned that under their ownership, that would continue. They also do not hold public meetings. They have eliminated the public from those meetings and not even allowed agendas to be reviewed. So the secrecy is an issue. This has really all gone on behind closed doors in secrecy. And that process is really makes this a very unclean process. So I would really like to see that cleaned up, a lot more public participation in this and transparency. And to this point, that is very, very scarce. So why would the Harbor District not maintain this? That would be a good question. What are the requirements? Getting that really clearly identified, because hand-led walks by Friends of the Dunes is not really going to work. And what? How does it even determine that they are qualified? That's still a big question. How much staff do they have dedicated to this? Those kind of things, which is all supposed to come out in the public process, which has been lacking. That's all I have for now. I'd be very interested in some response, though.
Thank you for comment, Uri. So I've gone through my list. I'm almost certain that I haven't named everyone on here, that the list sort of jumps around in some way that I don't understand about Zoom. But at this point, I'm just going to ask, is there anyone in the meeting that has not made a comment that would like to make a comment now?
So this is Carol Kruger.
And Eureka, and I just want to make a comment that I support what everything that I've been hearing in terms of the Friends of the Dunes taking over. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to make a comment that has not? Okay, hearing none, I think I'm going to turn this back over to President Coleman.
Thank you, Adam. And thank you to the public for a remarkably well-mannered and handled public comment period. I think we heard from everybody and thank everybody for taking the time to come out and make your views known on this issue. So at this time, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Do any commissioners have any further comments or discussion they would like to bring up at this time?
I would just say that I'd like to commend Adam and the chair because I think you've made me a believer in Zoom democracy.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Commissioner.
And everybody that's on this meeting. I mean, all these people are sitting here instead of eating dinner. So thank you all for tuning in. It's pretty flattering to the district to have this level of public participation. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Commissioner Doss?
Yes, thank you. So I too am in support of this whole general purpose of maintaining this land for public access and conservation purposes and recreation purposes. There's just a couple things process wise that I am concerned about, and I would like to see now that this document is less than a week for public review, that it we circle back to it and table this and support it after the public gets a chance to read this whole document. I don't think we've given enough time. In the process of choosing Friends of the Dunes, which they seem like a natural for the organization to take this on, there's a couple questions that come up about funds and costs and stuff like that of maintaining. Also, reversion, if something were to happen to that organization, there is in Article 2 of the amendment, Item 2.0, it does state that there is going to be a recording of a conservation deed restriction, which I believe, going back to Michael Bowen's comments earlier, is the document is called the offer to dedicate. And in my quick research, finding Government Code 7050 says that that is common, but it's common to a public entity, and it does not state anything about a private entity receiving those deed restrictions. So my concern is, it sounds good right now. We're talking about a serious land transaction, and I don't like to see land transactions that don't have all those little questions answered, because I too want to see this property protected, preserved, and made available for public to know, one, that the conservation is maintained in perpetuity, but also that it's done correctly, and there's no chance of losing the conservation and the recreation ability of this property. So for that, I'd like us to table this for a couple days and come back in the Harbor District, as well as just give a little bit of time for the public to read and soak in this document. This is a big document. So that's my concern. And otherwise, how I vote, I don't want it to reflect that I'm not in favor of this, but I just would like to see a little bit more detail to the solid perpetuity of the protection of this property contractually, because as a board and as a commission, both private board with Friends of the Dunes and a public commission, we tend to forget these details in time, people change, and I don't want to be something that slips through the cracks here and we not protect this property. Thank you.
Okay, I'm mute here. Okay, thank you, Commissioner Dawson. I see Commissioner Marks would like to speak.
I just wanted to speak to the public process. This has been very impressive. My work and what my job is to monitor agencies and what they do as far as the public process. This is amazing to see this type of participation. I enjoyed seeing and hearing some of the clarifications. It's hard sometimes for the public to get involved because they feel that they're not heard. And in this case, in this process, as far as this commissioner is concerned, you've been heard, and I will be voting affirmative for this action.
Thank you. And I just want to, I'm looking at the chat here, and I see another public comment that somebody expressed by chat. Jesse Bunkley says, I would like to voice my support for this project and express my confidence in Friends of the Dunes as interim land holders. I would just like to say too that this has been a very long process discussed in many different forums, and the input of the public has been taken very seriously by the commissioners. And it is, I think this is the best decision that we have moving forward to make this land transfer and make this transfer of land into public access and public trust a reality. So again, I'll, Commissioner Dale, we haven't heard from you. And since I can't see everybody, would you like to add anything to this before I call the question?
Well, I want to encourage everyone to go look at this piece of property, to participate with Friends of the Dunes if and when we vote to give them the opportunity to manage this until BLM takes it over. This is a gem right in our backyard that many people don't even realize is there. And I'm really excited to see this happen. This may be the biggest thing that the Harbor District has done in a long time. And I'm proud to say that that we've been involved in it. I'm asking for your support to move this forward.
Okay, then at this time, I would like to ask our Executive Director, Larry Otker, to call a roll call vote. Something from our...
This is Brian. Just in terms of clarifying, we have three resolutions on the table. And just to get clarity from Commissioner Higgins, that his motion was to move all three towards adoption.
That was my intent.
Okay. And then we'll take separate roll call votes on each.
Commissioner, I'll go ahead and start the roll call vote for resolution 2010, which authorizes the acceptance of the grant funds from the Wildlife Conservation Board. Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
You're on mute, Richard.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
I want to abstain.
Same. And President Coleman?
Yes.
Okay, for resolution 2010, which would authorize the First Amendment purchase and sales agreement with Security National. Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
Commissioner Dale?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Doss?
Abstain.
And President Coleman?
Yes.
Resolution 2012, which would authorize the transfer of the property to the Friends of the Dunes. Commissioner Higgins?
You betcha.
Commissioner Dale?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Doss?
Abstain.
And President Coleman?
Yes. So by my count, all three of those resolutions passed. Thank you, everybody, for staff. Thank you, staff. Thank you, public. Thank you, fellow commissioners. Why don't you stick around, public, while we talk about Samoa Peninsula Fire, Industrial Water, and Wastewater. Or you're welcome to leave the meeting as you choose. So I'm going to move on to item B of business, review and provide direction on the Samoa Peninsula Fire, Industrial Water, Wastewater, and other infrastructure that serves the Harbor District and other properties of Humboldt Bay. And so this is just an informational item.
Yes, it's something that the board had has asked for. And so let me just get set up here for just 1 second. So as you know, you authorized us to be part of to do the Samoa Peninsula Infrastructure Working Group. And these are the agencies that are participating in that, basically Humboldt County, the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, City of Eureka, City of Arcata, Samoa Community Service District, and Redwood Community Action Agency. And so what we're looking at is the industrial water lines, you know, ocean outfall pumps and saltwater intakes, multi-purpose dock, right-of-way acquisition, sewer, water, fire, shoreline protection, basically all these kinds of infrastructure is that what we've been looking at. And then sort of the core thing is that, you know, people have been saying what's going on the Samoa Peninsula for a long time, but things are starting to take shape with the Town of Samoa Master Plan, you know, that's under construction and the future development that's all permitted. And then the Nordic Aqua Farms at the Pulp Mill Project. And then we're starting to work on multi-purpose dock at RMT1. And all the work that Security National has been doing over the years on the former Simpson Pulp Mill site, it's starting to take shape, but there's a lot of infrastructure issues. And so basically with the Town of Samoa, what's getting ready to happen is new wastewater treatment plant under construction, new water, sewer, gas lines, fire hydrants, new industrial park, a lot of brand new infrastructure that's going to take place in the Town of Samoa. And so with the new wastewater treatment plant, literally within the next month, they're going to make the tie-in to the Harbor District's ocean outfall pipe. SHN reviewed just this morning, and the final plans, which are going to make that final intertie, are going to connect in at the end of this month. And then what they're anticipating doing is the first discharge of the wastewater treatment plant will most likely happen during the month of August, something we've all been working for a long time. The new wastewater treatment plant being built over near where the housing is being developed. And then the main sewer line, this is a brand new road that's being pitched in and developed right now. You can go out there and see this road being developed right now. And then the main line will come down Vance Avenue and then connect into the Harbor District's ocean outfall pipe. And that has all the Coastal Commission permits, all the Water Board permits, and is ready to go. You know, basically there's a new environmental impact report and we're anticipating the comments on the impact report, which the county is proposing to do basically a new, entire new laterals and mainline sewer that would go all the way from the town of Fairhaven and go down Vance Avenue right by the pulp mill and connect into the wastewater treatment plant. A brand new environmental impact report, and that's going to be circulated at the end of this month and go to the Board of Supervisors to be approved. And Humboldt Water District is working on their main line, the main industrial line. I signed a letter of support for approximately a $3.5 million grant to the Economic Development Administration to help with the upgrades that are associated with the Nordic Aqua Farm project and to complete upgrades to that water infrastructure project. So again, the water infrastructure project, it's not a good picture. Unfortunately, their 1 million gallon tank, which is located right here, connects directly into the Harbor District's 2 million gallon tank and then gets distributed from there. And then the Harbor District's ocean outfall pipe, you know, as you know, we've been doing lots of work on the ocean outfall pipe, and we currently have a lease with DG Fairhaven for $350,000. We have a lease with phase one of the wastewater treatment plant, which is just the town of Samoa, and with the environmental impact report would bring up to another 750,000 gallon discharge. We are looking at converting the existing leach field discharge that we have, which is a relatively small amount, that's 7,000, which would then go to the wastewater treatment plant from the Harbor District's own Redwood Marine Terminal 2, and then the Nordic Aqua Farms and some additional future tenants would be just 2,000 with the addition with these are just the existing 10, and then these future would bring us up to about 9 million gallons a day of discharge of the 40 million gallons a day capacity. And so what I wanted to take the time to kind of just to briefly kind of do one other thing is there was a major issue that happened with the Town of Samoa project. What you're seeing here is those are the fire lines and the fire hydrants that go, there's red tank here, and then the water comes from red tank, and then it flows back up into the Town of Samoa, and then it feeds back down in to serve the Harbor District's Redwood Marine Terminal 2 facilities and our Timber Heritage Association, basically the roundhouse properties. And what was slated to happen is that these lines would be not disconnected, it's just there would be no more water that would flow down those. And so I've been meeting with, this week, met with John Ford and the planning staff at Humboldt County, Roy Nicolini and Dale Yohara, I believe it is, from the Humboldt Peninsula Community Service District, LAFCO. I also had conversations with Danco about this, and all the parties assured us that we were all going to work together to make sure that there's water that flows into the system. And we really talked about three main things. Number one, in the short term, we all agreed that we cannot have the water stop flowing to the Harbor District's properties and these coastal dependent industrial properties down below. Number two is really was the question is that according to the current agreements that we have with Green Diamond, that they've given us notice that they would tear down the red tank. And so it really was the question, does the fire department, are they interested in taking over red tank as the Peninsula Community Service District? Was really the second question that we posed to them. And they said to us, they weren't committing to do it, but they said, we're interested in looking into that as opposed to having Green Diamond completely tear that out. And then the third thing is ultimately the goal with the is that the Harbor District is not in the fire business, and can all three entities, the Harbor District, the County of Humboldt, and the Peninsula Community Service District, work together to try to find some grant money to do improvements to the system to make sure that the fire system remains intact and is actually improved over the course of the year. And so I wanted to kind of give the board an update of all of some of the work that's happening out here in the infrastructure, because there's a lot that's going on. And I think the most important thing is all of those entities that I talked, that I showed in the beginning, we're all working cooperatively and talking to each other and trying to support each other. And it's a big thing when you get agencies that are working together, because we can't do it alone. The Harbor District doesn't have the money. We don't have the resources. We don't control all the land. And neither does the Fire District and the Samoa Peninsula Community Service District and Humboldt County and the Water District. And so we're trying our best to work together to support each other in our efforts, and really trying to prepare the Samoa Peninsula for future development opportunities to see the peninsula grow and expand. Because ultimately, the only way that we're going to be able to afford to keep this infrastructure improved is if there's new development that occurs on the peninsula that is going to help to pay bills. And so I wanted to give the board an initial update of our efforts from the Samoa Peninsula Infrastructure Working Group to try to give some improvements. And then the board has asked me to give additional updates in the future on sort of the railroad corridor, the railroad right-of-way. We worked at the last 2x2 committee with that Richard and Richard Marks, Commissioner Marks and Commissioner Doss were in attendance. The City of Eureka asked to come us to come back in September and take a look at the ocean outfall because they wanted to have some talks about their wastewater treatment plant and whether or not it has the capacity to meet their needs or whether they could afford to do that. And so anyway, I wanted to give the board, you know, a couple of updates on the Samoa Peninsula infrastructure and then seek some input from the board on, you know, basically, are we on the right direction or on the wrong direction, or how do you want us to handle some of these complicated infrastructure questions of getting easements and working cooperatively with all these other entities. And so I'm just going to kind of open it up to there with the board, give me any direction on this.
This doesn't sound like any shift. This doesn't sound like a shift in policy. This sounds like a continuation of our approach to the Samoa Peninsula. You know, the transportation grant we got 5-7 years ago. So this is all good, Larry. And yeah, the partnerships are essential. And I don't think you're off base from this commissioner's perspective.
You just unmute quicker than I can there, Pat. So, thank you, Larry, for that informative presentation. And anything... yes, I see you would like to say something. Commissioner Marks?
Yeah, I was participating today in the Humboldt Bay Water District meeting, and they had some sobering news for me. There seems to not be a real free flow of information between all of the agencies, or they're not getting, you know, what they're talking about out. There was some concern about the piping issue into the tanks to fill the fire suppression tanks. They were taking a 6-inch line and proposed to use a 4-inch line. That would mean that to fill that tank would usually take an hour and a half or so. It would take it to 14 hours to fill. And so if there was a big fire suppression issue, there was going to be a problem. And then from what I heard at the meeting today, it went even further, because then they proposed to put a 2-inch line instead of the 4-inch line. And so it would be absolutely impossible for them to have a safe operation there. I was kind of shocked because I didn't hear anything about any of this engineering stuff that the county planning department had been talking about and approved. You know, I wish I would have known before that meeting, but it doesn't seem like the community service district is all that knowledgeable about the process that is happening, and they're going to be, you know, starting a new community service district where they're going to be in charge of charging everybody for the infrastructure. It's going to be pretty daunting at the front end of that process for the district, because they're going to be the stewards of the water, sewage, and electrical, you know, for all of the peninsula south of the bridge. It'll be Samoa, Fintown, and Fairhaven. I wish that we could give them more support, but, you know, we got our own district to worry about. I just hope that there is a free flow of information between all the agencies, and so at least our community service district out here feels comfortable, because when I ask questions, I always get somebody look at me, I have no idea, Richard. So anyways, yes, I participated with the water district.
No, I agree with what Richard is saying wholeheartedly, is that, you know, as a former planning director, and when you have these, this is a major subdivision, what's happening here. If this was happening anywhere else, it's a major subdivision. You know, you would have engineers double checking other engineers' work on all of this. And I'm concerned that that's not really happening on this. And it's really, and it's no fault of anybody. I'm not saying there isn't any. It's because we have a brand new Peninsula Community Service District that doesn't have any staff and doesn't have any engineer support. And so you're just relying on, you know, the county building department to basically do all the plan check on the whole thing. And normally the county building department would be deferring to, you know, say McKinleyville Community Service District or Humboldt Bay or Humboldt Community Service District to kind of take the lead on some of those exact sizing and connection points and reviewing some of the detailed engineering. And so, you know, I'm not an engineer myself, and it's not our role, but I think we all need to work together to support, you know, Humboldt Community or Peninsula Community Service District.
Thank you. Any other comments from the board?
Yeah, Stephen, this is Greg.
Go ahead.
Other property owners on the peninsula, because this has an impact on the rest of the peninsula, all the way down to, you know, Fairhaven, the Coast Guard station. How does this affect them? Should they be a part of this process?
Well, I was on the today. I was on the phone with Simpson. And you know, they were asking us, well, what's going on with the community service district stuff? And you know, it seems like, you know, the property owners, you know, perhaps we should get together and have an internal conversation with the community service district, and then be kind of looking at the long-term plans of this. I mean, at this point, what our main thing is, what we were saying is, you know, we want to support the town of Samoa and the wastewater treatment plant and all of those kinds of things. You know, but at the same time, I mean, we have to make sure that we have fire protection. That's a basic core thing. And we're really, setting up the infrastructure. Once you put that infrastructure in place, you're setting the development patterns, you know, for literally the next 50 years with that infrastructure. These are major decisions.
And should those property owners be included in the wastewater treatment plant if possible? Should they be able to contribute to that and help Danco or Town of Samoa with that plant so that they can hook up to it? I mean, we want to hook up to it.
Well, with the wastewater treatment plant in particular, because the Town of Samoa right now, the Coastal Commission, when they approved the Town of Samoa, what they put in the Humboldt Bay
Hey, Larry, plan. Just so we're clear, the Town of Samoa predates the Coastal Commission, but I'll let that one go.
They did, but they got permits. They went to the Coastal Commission and they got permits. And so when the Coastal Commission amended the local coastal plan for the county, they put a specific condition on there that said nobody outside of the Town of Samoa could connect into the new wastewater treatment plant.
Oh, okay.
So even the Timber Heritage properties, which literally are right next to the Samoa Cookhouse, these buildings cannot connect into, even though they're 10 feet away from the line. And so there's an environmental impact report, and the county at the end of this month is going to be proposing to amend that local coastal plan condition that the Coastal Commission just put on like 2 years ago to open it up for the entire Samoa Peninsula to be able to connect into this new wastewater treatment plant. And so, yeah, it's a mess between the regulatory requirements and the infrastructure requirements. And so I'm just really glad that we're all sort of talking and working together. But like what Commissioner Mark said, you know, there's no staff or there's no consultant or there's no funding that we're operating on. We're just agreeing to kind of work together.
Should we put a committee together? Commissioner Marks has special knowledge in this regard. And it sounds like they're lacking critical mass. If they're going to make critical decisions that hamper fire protection, then we need to at least make an effort to make sure something that dire doesn't happen. I don't know if us having a committee and interfacing is going to be a benefit. I'm just grasping for straws because I'm aghast that decision might be made and they're considering going to a 2-inch line, you know, so that's everybody has to break out their garden hoses in a bucket.
Well, Patrick, I agree with you. And I think the other thing that I think is really interesting is you've got a lot of coastal dependent industrial property out there that's going to have people on it in the next, it already has a lot of people on it. And the infrastructure that we're talking about doesn't just include fire, it includes sewer and water, electricity, gas, and those sorts of amenities need to be planned for. And right now, I mean, That's a huge part of our economy in the next 100 years. Sorry, Richard.
Yeah, I was assured by the Water District today that the new proposal from the Planning Commission or the Planning Department would be for a 6-inch line. So they are correcting that problem. But that was my issue with the Water District is, you know, I don't know, I haven't heard about any of this, you know, and I think that I'm pretty close to the fire usually what's going on, but that was, and of course I've been trying to keep up with Larry's, you know, Larry's been putting out reports explaining what's going on out there, and they're having to use him. Why is our executive director having to do all that, you know, extra work? You know, when you have these other, and I'm not picking on the other ones. I just, you know, I want to know, Larry, so I would like you to keep doing that. But
thank you, Larry, for that. I think we need to include the other property owners as well, though.
Richard. Yeah, yeah.
Should we give this more energy? I mean, we're not going to solve the problems here tonight, but I mean, if we want to have continuing engagement, one mechanism is for, you know, an ad hoc committee to help Larry Otker track this. And if you're feeling like you're in the dark, Richard, well, you know, you're fully engaged. So, I mean, this may not be your cup of tea, but, you know, if you're feeling like you're in the dark, then if we have something formal, then that gives you more entree, but that may not be a bottleneck. So just a suggestion.
Well, and I think there's, go ahead, Richard. I'm sorry.
My concern is just the planning department hasn't seemed to have a fluid, you know, turnaround on things that are happening out there. And I wish there was a little bit more, you know, that we knew. As far as the residents of Fairhaven, they have no idea hardly. The only way that they know anything that's going on out there is through the fire district. And, you know, this last couple of weeks, they had to protect their homes from a fire that was right up to their doorsteps. I mean, that's unnerving in itself. But, you know, we have issues on the peninsula, the infrastructure. You know, well, what Larry was saying, there's going to be, a lot more people out there. I mean, there's that 80-unit affordable housing apartments that are opening right now. There's going to be 80 new residents, you know, as soon as they can move in. And then they're going to move the infrastructure down Vance Avenue, and they're going to start selling each one of those houses that they hook water, sewage and electricity to down Vance Avenue. There will be another 80, you know, residents who will be paying, and that'll help the community service district in the future. But then they don't have anything from Fairhaven. It's complicated.
So
I honestly think we need to bring this to the, you know, with I've been trying to communicate this, and Mike Wilson, Supervisor Wilson's been great to reach out. And so I've been trying to educate, you know, he's aware of a lot of the stuff that, you know, goes on because he's been a part of it for such a long time. But really the Board of Supervisors, you know, in my mind needs to be engaged. The why this is so important that we get down to this level of detail of the infrastructure, because that is the future of the peninsula, is that infrastructure.
Virginia has traditionally been pretty interested in this. Virginia Bass, that's her district. Maybe she's preoccupied in the pandemic, but she's usually been available.
If I may here, so I've heard it proposed, that we may potentially have a subcommittee working on this. This is, you know, this obviously impacts a lot of things that are within our district's jurisdiction and property that we have within that jurisdiction. If you think it would be helpful, Larry, and you're saying engaging the Board of Supervisors, and then if that's what we want to do, having a subcommittee of elected board members here in order to do that could help. I'd caution the scope of it, as much as, you know, we want to help the development and make sure that the development goes on properly, we would want to limit the scope of our subcommittee to direct impacts to the district and district jurisdiction and properties, which is pretty much everything they're doing out there. So that shouldn't be too much of a problem. But if you think it would be helpful, Larry Otker, I would definitely entertain the idea of having a subcommittee to pursue this further.
Well, because what, you know, I mean, I look at this sort of like, I went to the board, I think it was last year, we went to the board on the multi-purpose dock and, you know, said, look, should we do the master plan for the whole Samoa Peninsula? And it was like, you know, what the hell? We're focused on the harbor. You know, why are we doing a master plan for the whole Samoa Peninsula? You know, and so it really should be the county that takes the lead in doing the master plan. But, you know, like I think Commissioner Marks had said, we've been trying to engage them for a long time. And, you know, the county, you know, with speaking to the planning director, and I think a lot of the planning director, you know, he's thinking in terms of the entire Humboldt County. It's difficult to get the County of Humboldt to focus on, you know, just the Samoa Peninsula, you know, and cut the resources on to just that area, especially because it's really is, you know, one person's district. But that's really kind of what it takes, is there has to be some micro focus on this when you start to look at infrastructure.
Okay, well, it's getting late, and this is a really complicated issue. So if no more board members have any comments, I'd like to bring it to the public for comments.
Hey, Director Coleman, this is...
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
So I just want to thank Larry Ochter for bringing this up. I think I asked him a couple weeks ago about this presentation, and I think it's really good for us to revisit this, and it may not have to be monthly, but often, so that if nothing else, everyone is looking at what's on the drawing board and what's being planned from the public, so that they can see and comment to their respective areas, whether it's a supervisor or if they're more affected on the industrial side through the Harbor District or whatever it might be. But I think this is really great. And I also wanted to thank, as far as infrastructure, Director Ochter shared with us a day or two ago some photos and video of the fireboat doing some training over on the Eureka side. And it looks like it's something to keep in mind, that that is part of our infrastructure for fire protection, even on the peninsula, anywhere around the bay. And remembering that that should be part of the planning of how that boat can charge those lines if necessary, or interact with that system too, should just kind of be on the planning board. Thank you very much, though. I love the report, and I'm looking forward to looking at the easements as far as transportation easements, trails, and whatnot, as we go maybe into the next month or something like that.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, we had this, you know, just if I could just, since you brought up the fireboat, is. So we've really been working on this volunteer captain program. And so basically, you know, with our staff, basically Corey and Robert Provolt, Corey Morris and Robert Provolt have been doing training. There's going to be another pretty much all day training again tomorrow with the fire training activities. And then on the volunteer side, Ken Hobart, he's retired from Humboldt Bay Fire. He's been extremely active. Every Monday we go through and he comes in, and Alan Bobolat, retired, he comes in, and they're basically working on the boat. And then Aaron Newman is been doing the training. He was out pretty much all day yesterday, you know, on getting trained. Cody, Leroy's son, has been participating. He'll likely kind of come in. And so we're really working on getting that volunteer captain program. And then I sent those videos over to the Samoa Peninsula Community Fire District, Dale and Troy, and said, look, you guys might want to consider doing a joint training with us as well, just like with the fire district, because they just had the fire in the Fairhaven, you know, and you may need to connect into the fireboat because that's really is a critical part of the fire infrastructure, of the fireboat being able to directly connect in and then feed ladders or fire apparatuses that are on shore and supply a never-ending supply of water. Yeah. And so these infrastructure and training opportunities, I can't thank Chris and Adam, you know, enough for really encouraging and keeping that thing going. And for those volunteers for stepping up to the plate and doing the community a service.
Yeah.
Very, very true. Thank you. So now, unless I hear anything otherwise, I'm going to open it up to the public. And I see I'm impressed. A lot of people stuck around. So I'm going to, Adam, if you're still with us, I'm going to let you handle public comment on this item.
I can do that. I don't know if there's a lot of people that want to make comments or not. I'm just going to ask, does anyone want to make a public comment on this item?
Yes, this is Tim Callison with Security National.
Okay.
My comment is first of all, is the Harbor District is to basically manage the whole harbor, i.e. the whole peninsula. We've asked several times to be included in on emails that affect the peninsula. There was an email that went out regarding this fire line issue on July 29th. Nobody from Security National was notified or included in that email, nor was anybody from Simpson, who's still a major player out there. You know, we've asked several times to be included on updates on the sewer restructure, the water lines, blah, blah, blah. We are getting nothing. You know, we're to the point where, you know, if we can't participate, you know, we do own almost 400 acres out there. If we can't participate, don't ask for our participation. You know, when it comes time to join the thing, we're very frustrated. We don't know where to go. I have reached out to a couple of the council board members, not sure what else to do or how to get your attention, but you know, we would like to be included. That's it.
They could be included in a committee.
Tell you what, let us know the meeting times. Let us know when we can show up. Nothing is, not, there's never anything or any outreach, period.
Okay, thank you for your comment. I'm sorry to hear that, and I encourage staff to try and correct that situation. Can we go on with public comment?
Yeah, is there anyone else that wants to comment?
Hi, this is Kenny Carswell with Security National. Just to piggyback on some of Tim's sentiments here, there was a little graphic shared here. I think it's Larry that's doing the screen sharing. It showed the easements running from Vance through Ben Dixon. I think this is something we've been fairly open about, that we would like to push these easements out to New Navy Base Road. We are aware that there's a CTC easement that would be able to fit any kind of utilities out on New Navy Base Road. Running it along Ben Dixon, this essentially cuts our business park in half, which would greatly hinder any future development. So this is something that I think we need to address. I heard somebody mention some kind of a committee. That's what needs to happen. I know that Tim and I would be very involved in that. Just looking to the future development of our park, and some of our neighbors have also shared this sentiment. I think it's very important that we would push that out to New Navy Base Road versus the Vance, Ben Dixon to Lincoln. It could still drop in and serve those at the Fairhaven community. That's a big sticking point for us. Just want to throw that out there.
Thank you for your comment. Is there anybody else like to make a comment on this item?
Yeah. Adam, I don't know if you can see that Carla and I've had our little electronic hands up to make comments. Can you see that?
Yeah. Feel free. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm just going to make a quick comment. I'm still on the Manila Community Services District board. And I wonder if it's time to revisit a concept of having a more peninsula-wide service district instead of separate districts, because I know that that has, yeah, I know that that met with, you know, years ago, all kinds of opposition, but maybe it's time to talk about that again and pool resources together. So I think that's one comment I want to bring up. I'm kind of coming to the end of my term. I think Carl is going to be continuing on. Also, the Peninsula Community Collaborative can be a way to get the word out to, you know, residents who live out there that is focused on Manila, Samoa, Fairhaven. And so that's another opportunity to put on your contact list for getting your word out. That's it. Thanks. Thank you.
Carla, did you have a comment?
I did. I pretty much just wanted to chime in for the MCSD and say that
I'm a little bit aghast too at the water situation and the lack of planning going on. And I thank Larry for his report. Very interesting to learn. And I'm wondering if maybe there could be some sort of a meeting that would include MCSD of board members and, you know, a laundry list of other folks where, you know, especially the county planning to get involved and, you know, have Mike Wilson and Virginia Bass and the county and the water district. And, you know, I haven't heard anyone talk about Danco by name, but I'm assuming that they're, as far as I know, they're the ones doing all the developing and they've gotten all their permits. And then to hear that there are these water issues in addition to the idea that the aqua farm would be coming in shortly is just concerning. Anyway, I thought maybe there could be a meeting in the future that where we could all get together and talk about these issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to comment? Okay, back to you, Stephen.
Okay, thank you, and thank everybody for commenting. So I recall now, a number of months ago, might have even been pre-pandemic, there was talk about organizing a peninsula working committee with the Board of Supervisors and Harbor Commissioners and Community Service District members. Did anything ever come of that? Did that just get dropped somehow? Or did we ever reach out for starting those meetings, Larry?
Well, it seems like what we need to do is we need to add Manila Community Service District to this list.
Yes, definitely. We've been private landowners like Security National too.
Well, we discussed the landowners in the working group, and what we discussed with them is, you know, there's kind of a government to government, you know, group, but we should definitely have the major landowners involved in as at the last meeting. I just really want to emphasize this, that those every one of those projects that we're talking about, the wastewater treatment plant, the fire system, the water line, none of those are the Harbor District's projects. Not one of those is the Harbor District's projects. The environmental impact report, the line, the Harbor District is commenting on those just like you, just like everybody else. And I think this is really is, people are saying the Harbor District isn't communicating with us on these issues. We're trying to communicate just like you guys are trying to communicate and get our issues heard. And we all, if we all meet together, then we can be stronger in our communication. But we don't control the wastewater lines or the fire lines or any of those things. And that's the dilemma, is that's why we're all kind of meeting together, because you know, each entity is responsible for different things, and we have to work together because they're all intercoordinated together. And so, yeah, as far as with Security National goes, and the, you know, the my understanding is the Board of Supervisors is going to be hearing that later this month. And the County of Humboldt put out a notice just to governmental entities. I asked them about that. They told us when they sent out that notice in response to that July 29th letter, the notice that the county planning department put out, they only sent that to government entities. And so they were looking for comments from the government. And then after they received comments, then they were going to open it up to the public when it goes to the Board of Supervisors. And so I apologize if I haven't been clear.
Am I able to speak?
This is Tim Callison.
Let him go.
Go ahead, Tim. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, the email was sent out by you, Larry, to everybody except for us and Simpson. My other understanding is that you know, I get the government to government entity, but Danco was in there. He's not government entity. Green Diamond was involved. They were not public entity, and Bob Marino was. So why are we being left out? We are a major landowner on the peninsula.
It's a natural tendency of government to be insular. The Harbor District and different times in the past, we created an economic development committee. And I don't know whether or not we have like overlapping spheres and we're going to create more confusion, but I'm really hearing Tim and I'm frustrated that there's fragmented communication and we're making decisions that are going to last for 50 years. I'm not sure about our empowerment in this regard, but I'd like to see us try something.
Yeah, this is a classic error by government in when there's subdivisions and you look at small instead of the big picture. And I think maybe the Harbor District can step in here in a leadership role and bring in all the private landowners that want to be part of this into this discussion, because there's a lot of institutional knowledge with these particular industrial landowners that can maybe be helpful for the county to hear in early plan stages. But it's a typical problem that comes up a lot. And I usually see it after it's all done, or we all see it as a frustration of why a development went a certain way. And why didn't we think about a bigger picture in the very beginning? And this is a great opportunity to look at big picture and include everyone, and then, you know, we can build in phases, but let's have a big scale picture for the peninsula. I think it'd be more helpful for everyone.
Hey, I definitely agree. I see you, Greg, just a second. I definitely agree, and I also agree, like, if we are sending out emails to a group that includes private land owners and private entities on the peninsula, Security National should definitely be included in that. I still want to caution that, you know, like Larry mentioned, like these are not our projects that we should not as a district be trying to take over them or run these projects, because, you know, we should comment on them, especially as they're gonna impact us and impact things under our jurisdiction. But, you know, there are other entities that, and the county is in the end responsible for doing this. And so I think our efforts should be pushing the county to take ownership of this and step up to do what they should. But also, you know, like I said, I'll reiterate, you know, if we have been remiss in not including everybody on our communications, we should correct that in the future. And Greg, you were going to say something?
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. I agree. This is more of a county issue, but at the same time, we're the largest beneficiary of the waterfront dependent industrial land out there, with shipping, with any activity that happens out there, benefits the Harbor District, and so I think frequently that area gets overlooked. If you drive out there, I go out there pretty often, and I don't know how many people are working over at Fox Farm and at Security National site over there, but there's a lot. I would venture to guess there's more than 100 people working out there. This is something that needs to be included in the county's plan, and if we can help the county develop that plan, if they're not doing it now, we're not helping ourselves. And I don't know. I'm a little frustrated that, you know, if you're not growing pot, you really don't get any attention. And I mean that as no slight on the county. I know they've got a lot on their plate, but it seems like if you're not doing that, you're not getting any attention from the county, and maybe we need to help them out. And that's, I think, what we could do is help to drive some of the discussion. We've got property out there. We've got assets that could help with some of the infrastructure. And we certainly don't want to leave anybody out. And we want people shipping things out of Humboldt Bay. And I think those properties are not going to be able to be productive if they don't have proper infrastructure.
And I'm mindful of Richard's comment that the nascent community services district really hasn't even the capacity to kind of properly defend its interests. And so that leaves a vacuum because that's not an established agency. And, you know, maybe we're only talking about a Zoom call where everybody's heard, but, you know, the lack of dialogue with the public-private partnership here, when that's exactly what we're trying to foster, is counterproductive. So I hope that we can play some role, not to usurp, but just to make sure that everybody is like not just staying in their lane and we aren't communicating enough and we aren't fully benefiting from the knowledge of the people on the district. Go ahead, Richard. Sorry, man.
Thank you, Pat. Look, I was just, like I said, participating in a meeting where I offended some people because I said that they need to probably be more in touch with the process of what is happening out at the peninsula. They were able to point out things that I didn't know about. It really kind of shocks me that Tim Callison has been, you know, left out of some of the important decisions that are happening out here. And it's, and as Kenny Carswell said, it's affecting business. So there, the government to government obviously hasn't worked because, you know, I was part of that. We were talking about forming a JPA and we all got in the same room and we talked and then things left and stayed in the room when we left. Nothing came of it. There is a definite miscommunication process going on in the peninsula. I don't know whether we should take the lead. I do agree that maybe the county should take the lead on this. But if they're, you know, dropping the ball on some issues, such as, you know, piping water and that and things that affect the people out there and their safety, I mean, we really, that's an eye opener. So I don't know who exactly to do. We do need to have some sort of committee, I think, but it needs to be like an infrastructure committee because there's a lot of different balls in the air that I think that we're losing control of them. And when you talk about Danco, you know, and of course, you know, I was remembering when the process was brought up, hey, Danco is going to approach the Manila Community Service District about maybe using them as a conduit for this Samoa project. And then what happened was the Community Service District said, well, we have some issues with it. And Dan goes, okay, fine, I'm out of here. You know, so we didn't have a good enough vetting process, I think. And so maybe we could revisit some of those because obviously we're not quite ready, I think, on the peninsula. And if we are, we're just going to do it piecemeal.
Could I make a quick comment? Is that allowed?
Sure, Kenny.
just something about the county taking lead here. The county recently hired Connie Stewart and Barbara Browning with HSU to do kind of an infrastructure study, I will call it. And on that call, Tim Callison and I were both included, and we brought up this exact point that I just brought up about the utility easement running directly through our property. And obviously that went nowhere, and that's problematic. So I want to throw that out there.
Kenny, that's one of the ones that, you know, as a harbor district, we are trying to encourage shipping, and everybody I think here knows the importance of going from 20 ships a year to 40 or 60. All of a sudden the county is gaining a lot of jobs. There's a lot of money flowing into the county and it helps a lot of our agencies' budgets and it helps a lot of people in jobs. But if we're not looking at the big picture, and that's where I think the Harbor District has to be paying attention to land transportation, as well as we had a big scare not too many months back about the red tank and not having fire protection on some of our buildings in that same area that's diagrammed earlier. I really feel like we need to be taking a lead, at least as where it goes. And I think everybody here on this commission is saying the same thing. I guess I see a lot of reason that the county's dropped the ball in the past where it comes to subdividing and getting infrastructure in properly as a big picture. And so, you know, the idea of if we harm in a small development, possibly linking up further water or further roadway or even walking paths. You know, it's simple stuff. And I think the benefit of the private owners, their institutional knowledge of what issues are on those properties can help the Harbor District lead this so that the county understands. We're just trying to get some more shipping happening. Shipping fills up the coffers for the Harbor District, and we can go and take care of other issues on our charge as far as recreation and conservation. But we got to increase the shipping, and we got to make that a big priority. And that comes with improving these easements and taking away some of the things that just don't apply anymore.
The county is big, and it moves slow. And you guys have already kind of pointed out they're not going to take the lead. So for us to continue to wish that they would, they aren't. So then the question is, can we form a committee that's non-intrusive, that raises the issues and creates a dialogue and engagement without usurping and without pissing off these other entities? Because right now it's insular. It's not working. We're going to make bad decisions. Those businesses that are affected should be enfranchised. We have had committees that interbed Harbor District commissioners in the private sector. We did two economic development committees like that. And so, you know, I still see, but I mean, we need to decide right now who's really interested in this and wants to step up. And we still don't have a process going forward really for a committee because of the politics and the complexity. So if there's two people that are interested and, you know, and Larry wants to work with them and we stay in touch with Security National and then also think about linking in with all the other people on the peninsula that don't know what's going on. I mean, this is really not acceptable. And when it hits the fan, if we make big mistakes that last 50 years, that's a huge consequence. So I hope we can spark a dialogue and avoid mistakes. And that's about it for me.
Thank you, Patrick. So just a second here. So I'm going to propose that we establish a committee, that we have a report at our next meeting on what action that committee is going to take to address some of these issues. And I'll entertain a few more comments before we move on. But I think, and then also would like to know from my commissioners who has particular interest in serving on this committee. And have two commissioners on it.
If this is Tim Callison, if I may jump in, myself or Kenny Carswell are both are more than willing. We want to be a part of it. We don't want to be just informed on it. We want to be an active participant in the growth in that peninsula, because if, you know, as we all know and understand, any growth industrial that is going to happen within our community is going to happen out there on the peninsula. And we need to think big picture, long term. So both Kenny and I definitely would love to be involved. Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you for your willingness. And I'll leave it up to the committee and the executive director to come back with it, how we're going to do that and how we're going to involve you. But I definitely agree that you need to be involved.
Thank you.
Do I have volunteers or shall I appoint people for the committee? I see Larry Doss raising his hand. I don't see all of you right now, so I'm going to try and I see Richard Marks. You two are the most likely candidates, in my opinion, anyway. So I'm going to, as is my purview as president of the board, I'm going to appoint Commissioners Doss and Marks to a Peninsula subcommittee. And like I said, I'm going to expect you to work with Larry Otker to come up with a strategy and a plan. I don't think we're going to be able to vet that entirely out tonight and come back with a report at our next board meeting.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for everyone for participating. Hopefully this will be the beginning of better communication and decisions made for Peninsula infrastructure. So I am going to move on to item C, approval of the second amendment to the lease agreement with Nordic Aqua Farms California LLC at the District's Redwood Marine Terminal 2 property APN 401-112-021 and 401-112-024.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there a presentation on this or a board report? I mean, a staff report?
I'll just say that basically on April 29th, the board authorized us to do a letter of intent, and the details of the what set the stage for this agreement were all brought before the board on April 29th, and you directed us to put together this agreement. The board's attorney and myself worked with Nordic to put together this agreement, and so we request that you approve this amendment.
Thank you. Do we have any comments or discussion from the board? Any comments or discussion from the public on this? And I'll try and scroll through everybody here, but if Adam or I are not seeing anyone trying to make comment, I'll bring it back up to the board and call for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yeah.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. Okay, next on the agenda is to cancel the regular August 27th, 2020 board meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Yeah, and so this is just to keep in, start the process of what we decided on last meeting, that we're shift our meetings to regularly be meeting on the second Thursday instead of fourth Thursday, and begin at 6 p.m. as opposed to 7 p.m. So we just need to cancel the 27th meeting to get on that schedule. Any discussion from the board? Any comments from the public? Seeing one unrelated comment chat from Kenny Carswell saying thank you, commissioners. Just thought I'd share that. Okay, bringing it back to the board, may I have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yeah.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. Next item is permits. I see none. Moving on to future agenda items. We had a report from the yet-to-be-named Peninsula Infrastructure Committee. Any other future agenda items?
I think we want to go back to billboards, don't we?
I think. Yes, so I was just going to mention that there's going to be an item on non-conforming uses in the Bay or other such things. Any other future agenda items?
You know, I'm going to say log fence melt permit every time you raise this. I want one.
Okay, a long fence melt permit. I don't know if that, are you just asking for a report on the process on that,
Patrick? I'm wondering, Stephen, I don't have to run, so it's not an issue. But if I was running right now, people would be going, how come you're not dredging? And it's a long fence melt. So I really do believe that now that we have the assets to meet the needs of the department to show conservation far and above the damage that we create because of the properties we bought, that we should be engaging the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and getting ourselves a CESA permit for long fin smelt. And I don't know how long the form is, but I know that if we never start it, we'll never finish it.
And thank you for your creative use of the future agenda items section there, Patrick. Richard.
I just wanted to congratulate my fellow commissioners who survived the signature gathering to become commissioners unchallenged. So congratulations.
Who's unchallenged, Richard?
Now, nobody's running against us, Greg. Doesn't mean we're not challenged.
Yeah, no, I'm challenged every day. I mean, I can't tie my shoes half the time.
No, but I mean, I think our chemistry is good. Our knowledge base is growing. We're doing the people's business. And so I really like to see encouragement and democracy, but I think this serves for the public's best interest going forward. And congratulations, gentlemen. And I'm looking forward to humble service for another 4 years.
As am I, Patrick. Thank you very much. And I will let the record know that this is the first time in a long time that my hair has been longer than Richard's, just so we're clear.
Okay. Well, as that has devolved, yes, congratulations to everyone who has remained without a challenger, to put it correctly. We will move on to adjournment. Have a great rest of your evening, everybody, and look forward to talking to you at some time in the future.
All right. Be safe.
Thanks.